Good morning, First Baptist Church of Elon family. I hope you are doing well this morning. I'm going to give a few minutes time for everybody to join virtually. I know when we usually run our Facebook Live worship services, the service comes up a few minutes in advance, but not this morning in the midst of our winter weather. I pray that all are doing well. Hopefully this connection will work. Sometimes I'm having some spotty connection here, but I pray most importantly that everyone is staying safe and warm as the winter storm has finally arrived and continues over the next couple days. I know that I've heard of much preparation that have taken place in advance, and I hope all that preparation is paying off. This morning, I will admit, it's kind of beautiful outside. If you haven't had a chance to look outside this morning with the ice and the snow down, don't go outside. Don't go outside in it, but stay. Enjoy the beauty of God's, just the beauty of God's nature and God's creation this morning. As people join online this morning, I will tell you, if you have an opportunity, you can pull up our worship bulletin on our website at www.fbc-elon.org. We will kind of follow the order today, short of switching some songs out that'll be played here. I promise I won't sing any solos, so you don't have to go ahead and disconnect this morning. But again, just praying for safety and warmth in this time of season. And I'm most thankful that we can gather virtually this morning online for our worship service today. As you do gather, and I'm seeing lots of people who are joining little bit by little bit, and I pray that everyone is doing well during this time. If there are any needs that arise, if you have issues or need some help with things, please do not hesitate to contact myself or Gay or our deacons, and we will try our best to help out in the midst of this storm. And I pray that hopefully the storm comes and goes quickly. I will tell you that as we prepare for this week ahead, we do have some ministries that are taking place, helping at Joe's Diner on Tuesday, choir practice on Wednesday, and our Bible study that'll take place Wednesday of this week at 7:30 p.m. I will say, now those things are on the calendar at the moment, but we never know when if the weather doesn't clear out, these ministries may change, and we will make sure that we communicate with you about the upcoming schedule this week. I will share that the church office is going to remain closed for at least the next couple days and things until things start to clear out and the temperature starts warming up. But again, until then, if you have a need, please do not hesitate to contact us and let us know. We will be wrapping up our collection of the items for our January Missions In Gathering, which is for the Burlington Animal Shelter. So those items, you can drop them off at the church later on this week or early the next week, and we'll make sure they get to the animal services. I will also let you know that the contribution statements for this past year are available in our foyer. We'll probably end up mailing them out the next day or two, the next week. Also, finally, our February newsletter deadline is actually today. So if you have items to place in the newsletter, please email them to Janice, and we will make sure we get that in. The newsletter will probably be delayed for February, but we'll get it out as soon as we can. So many other things going on in the life of our church. I encourage you to kind of stay in tune via the newsletter or through our bulletins each Sunday morning. And again, our bulletin can be accessed on our website at www.fbc-elon.org. We're gonna worship. This is a worship hour. I encourage you to sing along with the songs that we'll be playing. I encourage you to pray and to lift up God. I encourage you to have your Bible ready as we turn in His Word a couple times this morning. We're going to begin our time of worship this day with a song that I think many of us have sung many times before. He Has Made Me Glad. I'm going to play it off on a computer on the side. So just sing along. Again, I'm not going to sing a solo this morning, so I'll step off the screen as we run our first worship song. But let's praise God with He Has Made Me Glad. hope you enjoyed our music, first song this morning. I will say, it's kind of taken me back a little bit. The music that I'm drawing from are from the I Worship DVDs that I used to use with the youth many years ago for our gatherings on Sunday nights, also in our worship worship services. We went on mission trips and went on our retreats. So diving back in some of the old pool here to pull these songs out. But anyway, let's begin. Let's open God's Word this morning, reading from chapter 27, Psalm 27, reading a couple verses as our opening scripture passage. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. And I think especially in this time with so many things going on in our lives and across the world, that we can find our shelter, we can find our strength in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer this morning. Light-giving, salvation-making God, we have staked our living and our dying and our being raised to new life on your steadfast love and faithfulness. You have promised to hide us in the shelter of the in that day of trouble. You promised to set us high on a rock above those powers and forces that batter us, that tempt us, that work against us. We have sought your presence here, listening for your word that gives life, your word that heals the wounded heart, your word that speaks truth. Teach us your way, O Lord Jesus. Lead us on a well-lighted path in the times when you are silent. Grant us the courage to wait, trusting in your grace that brings your resurrection power to our dead ends. You are doing a new thing among us. Though it is sometimes hard to see what this new thing is, we bring to you our grieving over what is being lost, our fears about what the future might hold, our desires to love and serve you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are refining us, purifying our discipleship, pulling us into following Jesus in this new world. Grant us mercy and grant grace to trust that you are deeply present with us. And you are the only secure place that we can find our light and our salvation, the stronghold of our lives. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, the firstborn of your new creation, our hope, our life, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's worship again with another song this morning. We're going to play the song, Shout to the Lord. If you know the words, of course many of us know the words to this, please sing along. I don't know about you, but there's something about the words to that praise song that just brings joy to your heart, especially as we gather for worship today. It's one of my favorite worship songs that have come out in the past 20 or 30 years, maybe even longer than that. But man, it is a powerful, powerful song. As we think about our ability to be God's creation in the world and to make a difference in the world, continue to build his kingdom. One way that First Baptist Elon that you have heard about and I can say is has now the transition has taken place as we have expanded our food pantry there at the church. Many of you heard at our last roundtable meeting about the need to meet the food need in Alamance County. And I'm thankful that we have been able to expand our pantry from a little closet downstairs to using a larger room upstairs at the church. I want to thank so many people who've helped make this a possibility. I want to thank the endowment team and the endowment team through their through the endowment fund that helped that donated money or money was drawn from that to help purchase the needed items in that room, the shelving and the rolling cart, and also boosting the supplies that we have there in the pantry. I want to encourage you. First of all, continue with my thank yous. I need to thank the education team who has had a hands-on role in making this pantry what it needs to be. I want to thank Kramer and Angie and Jennifer, who went over, I think, this past Saturday to help stock and organize and plan. I want to thank my mom and dad, who were also there helping with the pantry and breaking down boxes and doing other things to make this pantry transition. I also want to thank Jerry Zoden. Jerry was the one who, after we ordered the shelves, he said, I'll make sure I'll put them together. I'll have them ready. And he did. He put them together and then anchored them to the walls over the last couple weeks. So I encourage you, when you're at church over the next couple weeks, I want you to encourage you to stop by the pantry. It's the first room down the one of the Sunday school hallways. When you step in there, you'll notice that there are a lot of empty shelves at the moment. We're going to be purchasing more supplies there, and we'll be communicating what the needs are for the food pantry through our newsletter and through our worship time, but also just simply stopping by that room. We're going to have a board there that will tell you what is currently needed to help put our boxes together for food and our bags together with toiletry and other cleaning items. But again, I want to say a special thank you to all who had their hand in making this transition, and we will be seeing this a useful tool for many, many years to come at First Baptist. If you have any questions about wanting to maybe volunteer with the food pantry and things like that, please do not hesitate to talk to our staff members, talk to Kramer's head of the education team. But ways that we can make a difference, I encourage you. This is one simple way, but it's a great way that we can help in our community. Now we're going to sing another worship song. I think we all know the words to Open the Eyes of My Heart. Join along and sing with us.
Open the eyes.
I know y'all can't see this, but I'm running our music through a DVD. They're called I Worship, and they all have songs that are well familiar to us. There are many, many, many different copies of this, but as y'all can't see it because I'm not transitioning the camera, but as each song is sung, it's views or of God's creation. And there was an image there of a snow-covered mountaintop or snow-covered hills, and I thought, well, there you go. That's what we're experiencing on this winter Sunday morning in North Carolina. But again, thankful that you joined us for worship today. We'll have the offertory prayer, and I just want to echo, and when we don't gather together, obviously, we don't have the opportunity to drop our offerings off in the offering plate. But I do want to remind you that at First Baptist, we do have an online giving form. It's called Givelify. I can't speak this morning. Givelify. And then you can access that through our website if you want to give online for your offering, or you can drop your offering off later on this week at the church or even next Sunday. But we're thankful for the gifts that we're able to bring to God. But the gifts aren't just what we place in the offering plate. It's what we do with our lives. We have an opportunity to give, to use ourselves as God has intended to make a difference in this world. So I encourage you during our offertory prayer this morning and during this time of offertory, I want to remind you that God is calling, ready to use you. How can you be giving yourself to Him during the midst of this winter storm or during this time of year or in your community? Just think about that. How are you making a difference? How are you giving to God this new 2026 year? Let's pray for our offertory prayer this morning. Great God of heaven and earth, you call us beyond the familiar into your unfolding future. Often, however, we try to cling to comfort and resist your invitation to follow. Let this act of giving today, our giving of our offerings, the giving of ourselves, be a sign of our readiness to go where you lead. Shape us into a faithful congregation, faithful disciples through your grace and through your love. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. We're singing another worship song today. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. What a powerful hymn that has been for many, many years. Let's praise God this morning.
Bring forth the Lord.
said, I hope you've enjoyed our makeshift choir this morning. Again, apologize, I am not a soloist, so I'm singing off to the side, but not singing and leading a solo here today. But it just again reminds me of how we can praise God in so many different ways, and I'm thankful for our choir that we have every single Sunday morning. Gay leading them. We miss it when we don't have the opportunity to gather together in the same place. We miss that that ability to worship in a community together. But I fully believe that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, like we are this morning, He is with us and He is there, and we can praise God in so many different ways. If you would join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word in our sermon today, but join me in prayer this day. Heavenly Father, Your word in Hosea reminds us of Your deep, unrelenting love, a love that pursues even when we wander, a mercy that restores even after our unfaithfulness. Lord, we confess the times today that we have chased after things that could never satisfy, forgetting that every good gift comes from You. Just as You promised to allure Your people into the wilderness, to speak tenderly to them, draw our hearts back to You this morning. Quiet the noise around us so we can hear Your voice clearly. Restore in us the joy of belonging to You. Remove the idols that we've allowed to take Your place, and renew our covenant with You, one built on faithfulness, compassion, and trust. Let us know You not only as Lord, but as our beloved. And may Your love be found across this world in places of need in this hour, on this day, across the East Coast with this storm. We pray for all that they will be safe. They will be able to stay warm in the midst of this storm. We pray for our brothers and sisters of Christ in Nigeria who are continuing to face persecution in that country. We pray that You will continue to shape and mold minds there. Father, we lift up those that are feeling loss and grief in Minnesota this day. We pray for all those there in that state. We lift up those that are facing natural disasters, snowstorms in Asia, in the Far East. We pray that they're for their safety. We pray for power and needed supplies to arrive there as well. There are so many needs right now in our world today, and we lift them up to You this morning. And we're thankful. We're thankful that You turn valleys of trouble and into doors of hope for us. May our lives be a testimony of Your grace, and may our lips forever call You our God. We pray this in Jesus' name, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, for those that have joined us, the service has been going on, and we're thankful that you've joined us this morning for worship at First Baptist Elon, as First Baptist Elon, not necessarily at the location, but as the body of Christ at First Baptist. And if you are a first-time viewer online, we're glad that you found us this morning. I encourage you, if you want to, send me an email, and let me follow up with you this week and share what our church family is all about. This morning, as we gather virtually today for worship, I will be continuing the sermon series I began a couple weeks ago, looking at the prophets of the Old Testament. And while we can't be in person, we want to continue that series this morning. Over the last couple weeks, we first looked at the prophet Amos and called him the prophet in overalls, and his message that he brought to the people of Israel. Last week, we looked at the prophet Elijah, called him the rabbit trail prophet because it seemed like he got off on paths that he created, but God brought him back, and then God guided him on some extra long paths to prepare him and equip him to be the prophet that he would have him be. Each of the messages from these prophets still speak to us today. And this morning, we turn to another prophet, the prophet Hosea. And in the story, I hope you'll see and be able to see that the prophet Hosea reminds us that love conquers all. Now, Hosea was a prophet who lived about 700 years before Christ based on dating of time. He was a citizen of the northern kingdom, a contemporary of Isaiah, who Isaiah was in the south in Jerusalem, but again, Hosea was in the northern kingdom. And Hosea lived during a very turbulent time. During part of his prophetic career, in the span of 20 years, there were six different kings that came, and many of those kings were assassinated or pushed out by their coming successor. So it was a very difficult time politically for him. And on top of all of that, then there was a brutal pagan nation, Assyria, who would invade Israel in 722 BC, deporting many of its citizens. And that's the setting for the words that God sent to the prophet Hosea and through the actions that the prophet Hosea was asked to take. Now, the most serious-ish problems for that time period in Israel with Hosea was not political. It was actually spiritual. Israel was basically, as we say, running around on God. They were committing adultery with idols. They were ogling foreign gods. They were flirting at strange altars. This was serious business. This was the covenant people. The covenant people of Israel and the covenant people had shattered the covenant that God had established with them. They had broken their promises, and they flaunted their marital vows in front of the Lord. They had not only broken God's law, but they were breaking God's heart in the midst of it. So listen to these words from Hosea chapter 2. Israel decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after other lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord. As we listen to that voice, you can actually hear the anguish in God's voice. God was hurt. He was felt betrayed. He is not a passive deity who sits off on a distant throne. He is in this case, a jilted mate whose true love had turned to others. And like any ditched lover, God wanted to win his beloved back. But how could he do it? How could he bring the people of Israel back to him, back to worshiping him? How could God illustrate how the pain that he was feeling, the pain of the unfaithful Israel, was causing his emotion and his hurt? So that's when our prophet enters, our prophet Hosea. God chose Hosea. God chose to use Hosea and a marriage, as we might call it, to communicate this pain. Now, he uses an earthly marriage to communicate his divine anguish that he was feeling. And it's not the first time in the Bible that we see the imagery of weddings to relay a point that God made. If you read the prophet Isaiah, if you read the prophet Jeremiah, both define the relationship that they had individually and the nation had with God as a marital relationship. And this is an image that a lot of people can understand, even children can understand. Really, there's no other relationship that holds so much promise and so much potential as the marital relationship. The romantic ideal of a marriage made in heaven still grabs our heart. That's why rom-coms are one of the most popular movies that come out every single year. But God was going to use a marriage to reach out to the people of Israel. However, we also know that marriage holds the seeds of disappointment, of abuse and betrayal. And God told Hosea, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. You know, see, this wasn't going to be any kind of marriage. This was be a marriage that people would talk about, a marriage that would grab people's attention, hopefully grab the people of Israel's attention. You know, talk about thinking outside the box. You know, we often think that God would just snap his fingers and things would change, or that he would send lightning storms and all of a sudden the people would follow. But God recognized the hurt and the adultery that Israel was committing to him. And so he decided to grab their attention by a different marriage. God wanted to show how much he hurt for his people. And that was the most important thing that he was trying to communicate to the people of Israel. He was hurting because of the decisions that they had made. And Hosea's unhappy marriage to Gomer would be a mirror, a microcosm, a mini drama of the broken relationships between God and Israel. Now, the neighbors would start talking. The neighbors were going to gossip. The paper would pick this up in, as a sleazy story and put it on the front headlines. The church board would call in Hosea in and say, "What is going on between you and your wife, Gomer?" And Hosea replied, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel has decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot." That was the power of the message of Hosea. Now, the lesson was painfully clear. This was a heavenly object lesson, as we might say. We are the adulterers. Israel is the unfaithful one. Every time that Gomer would run off to another individual, it was an uncomfortable reminder that an entire nation had been running around on God. Now, if God were a betrayed woman, we would urge her to divorce him immediately. If she stayed with her faithful husband, we might question her sanity. We might even talk behind her back. Why does she stay with that skunk? Reading the book of Hosea, however, we wonder the same thing. Why does God stick around? Why does God stick it out for us? Why is God present and remain present to the people of Israel, instead of turning his back, which he rightfully could have? I don't know if many of you have seen the movie. I can't remember the date of the movie exactly. It came out many, many years ago. The movie called Moonstruck, which starred Cher and starred Nicolas Cage as two of the primary actors. And if you remember that movie, if you had a chance to watch the movie, even if you haven't, this is one scene that has shaped Hollywood movies and Hollywood studios. It's a very popular scene. If you remember, there's a famous scene where Cher, when Nicolas Cage tells Cher that he loves her, that he's fallen in love with her, and Cher looks at him and she shakes her head, and then she slaps him across the face, and she says, "Snap out of it." We want to say the same thing to God. Snap out of it, Lord. Get rid of Israel. They've turned their backs. Let's snap out of it. Get out of it. Give her a certificate of divorce and be done with it. But that's not who our God is. That's not who our God is, because our God is a loving God. Our God is a forgiving God. And then we realize that this image that we're seeing in Hosea, between Hosea and Gomer, is an image we still see today, of people being unfaithful to the one who created them. We've also betrayed God, maybe individually, maybe as a congregation, maybe as a community of believers. We've all betrayed God in one way or another. We've chased after other idols, idols of possessions and popularity. We put our faith in the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. There are internal idols, too, that sometimes dictate our lives and turn our eyes away from God. Greed, hatred, unforgiveness, self-pity, just to name a few. These attitudes often serve as a block to God's grace. We see and we're overwhelmed by them and not recognizing that God is wrapping his arms around us. These things impede our flow to the Holy Spirit. They keep Jesus at arm's length, whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally. And we're all guilty. No one is exempt from this, not even preachers. We're not exempt. Legally speaking, if this was a courtroom, legally speaking, we deserve punishment. In a divine court of law, it is an open and shut case. There's no question at all. The Bible says clearly that all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death. But God's gavel comes down, the judgment is pronounced, and the verdict is not guilty. Not guilty. Really? Not guilty? God, are you sure that's the right punishment, the right judgment? I mean, I am a sinner. We all are sinners. We've been unfaithful to you and your laws. The Lord softly replies to you, "I'm yours. Yes, you are my child. I know what you've done, but I am God. I'm not man. I love you more than you could ever know." I'm thankful that we have a God like that. I'm thankful for that ability to count on him, the one who is there. Now, listen to these words from Hosea chapter 2, the focal verse this morning, Hosea 2, 19 and 20. Listen to these words. I will betroth you to me forever. These are God's words through Hosea. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. You see, God's love is always corrective. It's not condemning. God's love corrects us and gets us on the right path, like we talked about last week with Elijah, but it doesn't condemn us. It does not, it unbinds us from the sin that we have in our lives, and it wraps us up not in judging words, but loving arms. Now, God's hot, angry words, as received in the book of Hosea, and I encourage you to have some time this afternoon to read the entire book of Hosea, you'll see some of the heat, you'll see some of the pain that is there written in those words, but those words, those angry words, are far outweighed by the affirmations of love, of tenderness, of affection, of mercy, and justice. You see, mercy triumphs judgment. God will lead Israel to a quiet spot in the desert and woo her back to him. Israel will turn to God again and see the ache, the longing, and the passion in his eyes. Israel will remember long ago how he called her into being, led her through the desert, and gave her the promised land as a wedding gift. Is our God a God of justice? Yes, without a doubt. He must punish sin. Is our God a God of love? Absolutely. So how does God reconcile the tension between the two? If you ever question this, look no further than Jesus Christ. He is called the bridegroom of the church, a church that has failed him like Gomer has failed Hosea and Israel failed God. Jesus died for his bride. He spilled his blood for her, yielding his body on the cross, so the body of Christ, us, so that we could live. Why would Jesus die for us and imperfect individuals, imperfect just like Gomer was? Why? It's because of love. It's simple as that. It's love. A love for the unlovely. Gomer, by the way, the word Gomer, the name Gomer means perfect. And she was anything but perfect. Just like us, but God gazes through our Gomer imperfections to see the complete and the perfect, relentless love. A love that does not wink at sin, but erases it by supreme example and sacrifice. A love that melts hearts, releases captives, and calls prodigal sons and daughters into the Father's great big house of joy and cheer. In closing this morning, some of you might remember President Ronald Reagan's remark some years back, not sure the date, but he says this, that if it were not for women, men would still be dragging around clubs and living in caves. And I know that's true for me and my wife, Jennifer. Her patience and her unconditional love has knocked off some of my hard edges and spurred me on to become a better person. I'm still a work in progress. I think we all are. But you know, all of us have lived in a cave at some point or another, a cave of fear or a cave of apathy, a cave of anger or pride or sin. But love calls us out of our caves. Can you hear his voice? It is the voice of God. Can you hear his voice? It's a voice of compassion, of cleansing forgiveness. It is the voice of love, a love that heals our waywardness, calls us back to the altar of dedication, returns us to the all-embracing arms of the perfect love, our God, until we are utterly faithful forever. The prophet Hosea shows us that love conquers all. Love conquers all, and that's a divine love. That's an eternal love that he gives us from a holy God to a sinful human race. And on this day, I'm thankful for that love. I hope you can feel it. I hope you've experienced it. And if you have, whether it be in our worship hour today, maybe it has been over this past week, or maybe it has been before, if you feel that love for the very first time, I want to encourage you to embrace it. Embrace Him. Come, talk with me about it if you want to embrace Him as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Come, embrace Him as the body of believers at First Baptist. Come, embrace Him as someone who's fallen, but who gets the not guilty plea because of His forgiveness. I'm thankful for a God that loves us. I'm thankful for a God who is holy and just. It's amazing. A holy, just, loving God and a sinful human race. What a combination when you bring it together. It's a marriage made in eternity. But God wouldn't have it any other way. Let's pray this morning. Father, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can experience Your love in such a deep and life-affirming and changing way. I'm thankful for the words of Hosea, spoken so many years ago, but that still rings true in our minds when we place anything before You. I'm thankful for the marital vow and the marital bond that You showed through Hosea and Gomer, recognizing and calling out the people of Israel and calling us out to be the forgiving and the loving individual and people that You would have us be. Father, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that in the midst of the world of chaos in which we live right now, that we can find love. We can find love when we turn to You. And may those embracing arms of love prepare us, equip us, hold us safe to be the mates, the marital mates that You would have us be. Father, thank You on this day that we can experience that love. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we're going to sing one last song as our closing hymn today. It's a song that when it first came out, it was huge. It was there was in movies. It was seen, played on regular radio. It was on so many different ways. But I want you to listen to the words. And it talks about experiencing God and how we experience Him today. We can see through the story of Hosea that God's love is all-encompassing, and it can break down any barriers. And I think that's what this song is based on. If you would join in singing, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine. As we close our worship service this morning, I pray that you will experience the love of Christ, his embracing arms around you. And when we experience him again, may we embrace him and wrap our arms around him. But on this day, in this hour, may you feel his arms wrapping around you, and may you feel his love. And let us share that love with all that we encounter this week. As we go through this week, as this winter storm passes, and we return back to our lives, I pray that you will be able to experience and show that love through the world. Again, thank you for joining us for worship today. I hope you'll join me later on this week for our Bible study. And hopefully, this next Sunday, we'll be back in person. But what a wonderful day to worship it is. Let's praise God as we go.